You've heard it said a lot of different ways, but it takes a lot of different people working together to make a child successful. And the players are certainly in place for the children of Medford's Jackson Elementary School. Jackson's neighborhood is one of the poorer ones in the district, and a number of programs have cropped up over the years to help the kids and their families to success. The programs include the West Medford Early Learning Collaborative, and here's our chance to learn more about it. Two guests are with us, one in the studio. That is Kelly Soder. She's the principal at Jackson Elementary School. Kelly, thanks for coming in during Christmas break.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. And joining us by phone is Abby Bush from the Oregon Community Foundation, which has provided some grants for the Learning Collaborative. Abby, welcome to you.
Thanks very much.
So, Kelly, let's start with you and give us a general description of the details at Jackson Elementary School. It is a Title I school, and that usually is a code for, you know, the level of poverty that exists.
Right. A Title I school is a school that receives federal funds for the number of students that are at or below poverty guidelines. It means that we receive additional funds to help stabilize our families and even the playing field, per se.
Now, one of the things you were talking about just as we came into the studio this morning was you were telling me it's not just an issue of poverty in the district, but also turnover. And yeah. It's a fairly staggering figure that I don't think I've ever heard in a school before.
Yes, we call it our mobility rate, but it's really the students that enroll and withdraw within one school year. So, for example, right now we're about 430 students. We always climb a couple of students each year, but our number tends to stay pretty stable throughout the year, but it's not the same student. So if we have 430 students right now, we likely will have about that number at the end of the year, but we can run this withdrawal and enroll report, and we see that about 50% of our students have enrolled or withdrawn through the year. So that's our mobility, 50% turnover throughout the year. And that's pretty typical year to year. The last 3 or 4 years, we've been tracking that, and it's about the same.
So let me make sure I understand this. So the 430 students at the end of the year, about half of those are going to be students who were actually there at the beginning of the year.
Correct.
What do we account to? What do we attribute that to?
There's a lot of... Well, primarily, we have homeowners that are not homeowners. We have students and families that are not homeowners. So they're renting or they're living with other family members. They're very transient, and crisis happens throughout the year, and they suddenly move, or they know they're moving, or they're temporarily living there while they're looking for their own housing situation. Very transitory crisis.
So you've been there for 3 years and change now as principal at Jackson Elementary School. What sorts of things have you been able to implement to try to address some of the issues? I mean, it sounds like you can't stop people from moving in and out of the district, but you can certainly address the people while they're there.
Yeah, well, one of the big objectives of our Early Learning Collaborative is the services and supports that we can offer families. So when they do reach these situations where they have a need to move, they can come to us. They can see if there's anything that we can do to help them continue to have their children in school. Many families might qualify for an opportunity to actually stay in our school. We can offer some transportation to help support the children and the family so that the children can have one continuous school experience throughout the year. We also, with these community partnerships and different kinds of supports, we are attracting more families that really are working harder to stay in our neighborhood. So when they do have a situation and they need to move, they're looking to stay in our neighborhood still. We want to be offering support so that they don't just leave, that they have a trusting relationship with us, and they inform us of what's going on in their lives. They let us help them, and they work hard to stay in our neighborhood.
Abby Bush with the Oregon Community Foundation, I want to bring you in here. She joins us by phone from Portland. The foundation obviously works with a bunch of similar schools around the state. Do you have a rough idea how many?
Yes, we have grants to 10 different school districts, like Kelly's around the state, who we are, in addition to supporting with some grant funding, are also bringing together to allow these innovative leaders like Kelly to come together and share ideas about what's worked and what hasn't worked, to be able to spread some good ideas around as much as possible.
Are the needs very similar district to district, or do they vary as widely as the ends of the state of Oregon?
It is a very diverse group. We have Portland, Medford, and Salem-Keizer, and then we have the North Lake School District, which is a pretty different setting, I think.
We're talking about North Lake County, then way out there in the center of the state.
Right. Christmas Valley and Silver Lake. So very remote. And, you know, a very different set of challenges that the school district and administrators are facing.
I have to believe there are more needs than can be addressed by grants from the Oregon Community Foundation. So you have to do some triage, it sounds like, to pick out the cases that are most in need.
Absolutely. But, you know, we are also looking for people who are really ready and eager to try something new and different. And that's certainly what we saw in the case in West Medford and Kelly's leadership at Jackson. And the community partnerships with other organizations in the area was really very exciting to see how everyone is coming together around Jackson Elementary to help support young children and their families.
So obviously you're not just doing this alone as the school district, Kelly Soter. We're talking to Kelly Soter from Jackson Elementary School, Abby Bush from the Oregon Community Foundation about the issues with the Jackson Elementary District and the West Medford Early Learning Collaborative, which has sprung up to assist the students and families in that area. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Check out our Facebook page. There's a picture of Kelly right there. We seem to be surprising a lot of our guests with the camera. So we'll just put it out there that if you're in our studio, you'll be on Facebook. What then, I mean, when you first came into the job 3 years plus ago, mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly knew it was a challenge coming in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine your eyes were wide open knowing what was ahead of you. But how much assessment of what was already going on were you able to do to figure out, okay, this works, this might not as well?
You know, that first year in any new job, you're sort of trying to figure out what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And so it was a nice opportunity to see what was going on and just to allow myself, you know, I don't know what I don't know. So let's find out what we can try. And like Abby mentioned, those community partners that reached out to me actually initially are how it all started. The Family Nurturing Center and Kids Unlimited were some of my first phone call messages. The first, when I first got on the job, the leadership at Family Nurturing Center and Kids Unlimited were two of my first messages, just immediately reaching out, how can we support you? How can we support Jackson Elementary? We're really excited to work together. And that's really how it all started.
It sounds like it was a fairly loose coalition at the beginning then. So how did it firm up into this West Medford Early Learning Collaborative?
Really with the support of the Oregon Community Foundation to give us that support and a nudge in, okay, so you've got these partnerships and you've got this conversation going on around kids in West Medford and how we can support them. How about if we supported you and formalized it a bit? What could you do? What could you try? And like Abby mentioned also, we've had the ability to try things that were successful and try things that weren't successful and know that we had the opportunity to be sort of thinking outside the box and trying things that may not work and not having to be successful every step of the way, because some of our best learning has been trying things that weren't successful and then going back and trying to figure out why that wasn't successful and how we could do it differently.
You learn from making mistakes, mm-hmm. not just from avoiding them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Abby and the Oregon Community Foundation has allowed us to be that.
And so, Abby, when you're looking to award a grant, I mean, what sorts of things are you looking for?
Well, we are definitely looking for leadership and a willingness to identify a problem in a really tangible way and then try to find some new and creative solutions. We also are really eager to see support for this work, both from the top down, from superintendent level, and also from the bottom up, and see a real interest from teachers and instructional assistants to better support and try something new to support students. You know, only about two-thirds of third graders meet third grade reading standards in this state, and so clearly we're not doing something right, and we really want to find some new ways that we can spread around the state to increase those rates, because we know that if students are reading proficiently by the end of third grade, they're four times more likely to graduate from high school. So we really see this work that Kelly and her partners are doing in West Medford as a way to prime the pump to get more students graduating from high school.
Now, when we talk about early learning, Kelly Soter, we're not just talking about the kids who are of school age, right?
Right, right. We're talking about starting even at birth. When can we connect with families and start that literacy campaign from the minute they're born? And that could be, I mean, we dream of that's partnerships with hospitals, that's partnerships with our pediatric nurses and our the folks that first interact, our pediatricians.
All right, so let's separate a couple programs out here. We're talking about the things that are successful, and we could talk about the things that weren't so successful later on. But mm-hmm. what are some of the things that have worked within the school for the kids who actually are attending Jackson, which is K through 5?
K-6.
K-6.
Mm-hmm. It's K-6, and we have a preschool now with the Family Nurturing Center on site. And we serve about 15 kids with the preschool. Some things that have been successful are helping families get high-quality literature into the homes and helping give them examples of reading with our child, reading with children, and really emphasizing how important it is to read and that literacy component about any reading is great reading, any language is great. Offering supports for literacy nights and different kinds of family, healthy family activities throughout the school. We always provide food and childcare if necessary, just really always encouraging families to come in to events, not just a 7:30 to 3:30 school day, but really things early in the morning, things in the evening, family lunches. So family engagement and anytime we can give them free literature, free books, giveaways and goodies, we have success with families that really enjoy that.
How do you bring new families along? As you mentioned, when you've got about 50% of your student body changing over the course of a year, there must be some attention paid to getting newer families and newer students up to speed with the rest of the student body. And
yeah,
it's constant.
Yeah, it's constant. That's just a challenge for our teachers always to figure out where maybe some gaps and holes are and how to fill those in, but continue to move forward for other kids. That's always a challenge. We do find that our new families really, we are sort of inundating them right now with all of these different events and services and supports. And we have a family center on campus now and a Facebook page. And so there's all of these great communication tools right now. So we actually are finding that our new families are thrilled with that communication and supports. And, oh, well, let me introduce you to our parent outreach coordinator. And have you seen our family center? And so that's actually really nice right now. And then our teachers can sort of transition into helping bring kids up to speed to the best of their ability.
Abby had mentioned about two-thirds of third graders meet reading standards. Mm-hmm. How are they doing? I mean, obviously people are going to look at test scores at some point and see how your students are doing compared to other districts and the other parts of the country. So how are the students generally doing academically at Jackson?
You know, on average, last year we had a great year. Our third graders did really well. We had 69% meet benchmark, which we're thrilled about, and we'd love to have that trend continue. Prior to that, we've been about 50% of our kids, and that's been for several years. So that is definitely a struggle for our kids. Many of our kindergartners, over 85 to 90% of our kindergartners come in well below what we call benchmark. So they're unable to identify letters and sounds. And where we would want kindergartners to come in is much higher. So they're drastically below their peers of that same age. So as you can imagine, we're well behind before they even start. And then to get them to the same benchmark at the end of third grade is very difficult. It is a sign of many of our children not having a high-quality early learning experience. About 75% of our kids don't go to school before kindergarten. They haven't had a formalized preschool or pre-K. Many of them are being cared for in the home or perhaps by friends, family, neighbors, but not really attending a formalized education experience. So that first walk in the door at age 5 is their first experience.
And so how long has the preschool existed at Jackson Elementary School?
This is our second year.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big boost. How many students can fit in that, and is there a waiting list for it?
There is a waiting list, and we do some screening to attempt to serve our most at-risk youngsters in that program, children that have not yet been served or are not currently being served. Their families have higher levels of risk in the home that kind of help us figure out a priority list, and then we do have a waiting list that goes down. We have 15 kids in our program right now, and we are full. That is our capacity.
So now we're talking about the educational stuff and the thing, and the preschool is right there at Jackson Elementary School, right?
Yes.
What are some of the offsite things that are going on that are part of the West Medford Early Learning Collaborative?
One of our partners is the Family Nurturing Center, and they have programs for early learning as well at their site in West Medford on Oakdale. They also have a satellite program in the Kids Unlimited campus, and then they are also serving children 4 days a week as well. So we're communicating between all those programs, and the Family Nurturing Center has a new satellite program in Grants Pass. So they continue to serve children in our area.
And we've talked to the folks at the Family Nurturing Center before. Mary Curtis Gramley's been a guest mm-hmm. a couple of times. I know did she just retire? Is she about to retire?
Well, she did retire, but mm-hmm. But you just can't keep her down very long. So she is now the director of this Southern Oregon Early Learning Services, which is our educational hub for Southern Oregon, which is Jackson and Josephine County for the state. So she retired for about a month.
Okay, good to see. Good to hear.
Back
just keeping
to work.
It handed. But the Family Nurturing Center itself is really interesting because it's really about helping parents be better parents, isn't it?
Exactly. So The Kids Unlimited site is a relief nursery, a satellite relief nursery. We are a satellite of the Nurturing Center, but we are not a relief nursery. We're a licensed child care facility. But many of their staff is highly trained in their approach, and so our children are benefiting from their highly trained staff.
We're talking about the West Medford Early Learning Collaborative with Kelly Soder, who's the principal at Jackson Elementary School, and Abby Bush is on the phone with us from Portland with the Oregon Community Foundation, which provided a grant to the West Medford Learning Collaborative to help things move along earlier this year. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about this particular educational situation or broader ones. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. If you prefer email, check us out on Facebook. You can see a picture of Kelly sitting here in the studio with me. Abby, how much of a grant did you give, and was it specifically earmarked for certain things?
It was a $75,000 grant, one of about $70 million in grants and scholarships that OCF gave out in 2013. And we're going to be sticking with Jackson Elementary for another 2 years. We know that these kinds of big changing systems type projects can't really be accomplished within just the span of 12 months. So we will be in communication and working on this together for another couple of years.
That's an interesting time perspective, Kelly Soder. When you walked into the door of Jackson Elementary School 3.5 years ago, mm-hmm. did you think in terms of a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, anything along those lines, or just let's fix what's here and move ahead?
Oh, gosh. I think it was sort of a survive the first year for sure. and then as we got to the end of that first year, some of these opportunities began to present themselves, and it was really exciting. And then I think it definitely became several years down the road. It's hard. It's amazing to believe that in 3 years, some of these partnerships with Kids Unlimited and the Family Nurturing Center and On Track have gone from these conversations in the coffee shop to really doing some of the things that we said we ought to do that. And we've really done many of those things. So to think that that has happened in 3 years, I think, and with the support of the Oregon Community Foundation, knowing that they are really putting some backbone behind this, that it's very exciting to think where we might be in 2 years, in 3 years, in 5 years.
Were there any off-the-shelf programs that you could borrow from other places, things that had seemed to work in other communities? You thought, hey, let's try this here in West Medford? You have the advantage of having things existing like Kids Unlimited and the Family Nurturing Center.
Right. And there's been conversation for many years between those organizations about this idea of a promised neighborhood where you take a neighborhood and you just work on it block by block and support the families to be successful. And so in while we're not a promised neighborhood, many of the philosophies and ideas behind it are supports that we've drawn and taken from each other. And obviously the reputation and the success of the Family Nurturing Center and now of the Kids Unlimited have helped immensely in helping us move forward.
Are there any programs within the what you're doing for folks at Jackson Elementary and through the West Medford Learning Collaborative that might make people scratch their heads a bit and think, what does that have to do with education?
Sure. I would say like one of the things that we do is diapers. We give away diapers to families, and that's something that Family Nurturing Center has done for many years, which makes sense. They serve babies and they serve young children. We don't. So we do, but we don't, you know. So that's something that we've done as a way to draw families in. It's a necessary expense to families. They need those diapers, and we're trying to kind of connect and find families that are hard to find. And giving them free diapers and asking them to sign in and tell us how many children they have in the home and how old the children are. It's a way for us to find some hard-to-find families and give families something that they desperately need, diapers. It's sort of an odd thing, but it's been really successful. And then we can then use those names from Diaper Days and say, hey, would you like to come to our family literacy night? We're going to be giving away free books and having a spaghetti dinner. So it's one of those going around the back way to give them something and then find some hard-to-reach families.
And even if they don't necessarily stay in the district for a long time,
right,
at least you'll have given them a boost at some point along the way.
Right, yeah. And then we're hearing in the community, hey, did you know that Jackson Elementary is giving away diapers? Did you know this? Did you know that? So they're talking about us in a positive way, and that's absolutely wonderful.
What services can you continue to provide when you're on vacation like you are right now?
You know, one, we don't offer this right now, but we would love to offer meal service for families during this two-week holiday break and during spring vacation as well. Many of our children, we see a lot of anxiety leading up to spring vacation, Christmas vacation, summer vacation, and a lot of that has to do with the uncertainty of what might happen when they're not at school. There's structure and routine and meals at school. And that's something that we would really like to be able to continue to offer, to have meal service, to have some of those, our family center and parent outreach hours and things like that, so that while school might not be in session, some of those essential services are. And we have been able to do that during summer months, but the next step would be during the holidays at Christmas and spring vacation.
Abby Bush, less than a minute. Since the Community Foundation, the Oregon Community Foundation, sees all these programs, is there an exchange, a clearinghouse, a place to share ideas between the districts that are dealing with issues?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to bring all of the grantees together at least twice a year so they can mix and mingle and swap some great ideas. I love this diaper idea, and I think you're going to see that taking hold around the state soon.
All right. Interesting way, certainly, to get a hold of families you might not otherwise find. All kinds of great stuff going on at the West Medford Early Learning Collaborative. Kelly Soder is the principal at Jackson Elementary School. Abby Bush is with the Oregon Community Foundation, which provided a grant to the collaborative this year. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Take care, Abby. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Coming up at hour number two, we'll talk to Lisa Lovett-Smith about her book, Who Knows Tomorrow?